You have added so much to what I like to call the great caregiver songbook. You know, those songs with emotions and words that really help family caregivers get through it. Just You and I, Broken Days, Happy Endings, Rescue Me, Come In From the Rain. And the biggie for family caregivers is Don't Cry Out Loud. Have you heard from family caregivers about the effect that music has had on them?
I think so, yes. You know, after I do my performances, I go into the lobby and I sign things and hug people and listen to their stories. And always the story about how my music helps people to get through some rough times. And I'm very touched and honored by that, because honestly, you never know how or if your music will have any impact. And you know, having impact is not even the intention of creating. You know, creating is the intention of creating. And so to have that gift come back so many fold is really something.
And it makes a bit. We do a series of conferences around the country called Fearless Caregiver Conferences, and they do talk about the connection. I think the connectivity, the connective value of music to what they're experiencing, or even just take them away, just be able to take them out of the moment of what they're experiencing.
You know, music is soul currency. It is really soul currency. And the song, the actual song form, the longer I'm doing this, the more precious that kind of tender is. Because, you know, in 3 or 4 minutes, you can synthesize a floating anxiety into an actual idea, into an actual singable anthem that can give you strength and of clarity forward and through a difficult time. And I get that, and I certainly have experienced that myself. And so I just don't take what I do for granted and the gift I've been given for granted either.
How's your mom doing?
She's a fantastic woman, and you know, she has suffered 2 major strokes, and I means that she cannot speak. She doesn't have dementia. She understands everything that you're saying. She was an artist and one of the first women designers to own her own manufacturing firm on 7th Avenue. Her company was called Ruth Manchester Limited. And when I bring her art books, she really always made sure that my sister and I were going to museums and anything that was free in those days in New York City. And art was always a passion. And when I bring her art books, we literally can discuss gorgeous creations on page. And it's fantastic, really.
It's amazing what we learn what from watching our parents and, you know,
Well,
following.
and it's amazing, right, and it's amazing what our parents give us in terms of the unspoken messages. And the unspoken message that my parents gave us, my sister and I, because they were both black sheep of their family, was, if you have a dream, go for it. And whatever that means, that's your version of normal. So it was lovely, and I hope that I give that to my kids as well.
It actually sounds like there's a terrific group of families at the facility that you've all kind of created this informal family of choice where the facility your mom is living, where you all keep an eye out for each other's family members when you're there.
Oh,
How did that start?
well, when my mother was coming out of the hospital from stroke, she needed to be in a rehabilitation center. And you know, when you're in a new world, you don't really, it's uncharted. You don't really know what you're dealing with or the environment. And as soon as we got her settled, and I was visiting her every day, I do visit her every day, I started to meet other adult children of people in need of recuperation or rehabilitation. And we started to create this little village. We would get to know each other and get to know the moms. And the blessing for me now is that when I'm on the road, I know that my mom will be visited every day by this group of magnificent women, and occasionally the women's husbands. And it's very, very dear. This has been a new village for me, a new tribe, and I'm eternally grateful for them.
I always say that you get that phone call, the metaphoric phone call in the middle of the night, something happened, your mom had a stroke, your dad fell, your and you step through this looking glass, and everybody else there knows what's going on, the doctors, the care managers, the professionals, but they're throwing acronyms and they're pointing to you to make decisions on the spot. What was the thing that got you from that stage to feeling that, okay, I know where I am, what I'm doing, and how I fit in the role as a family caregiver?
Wow, what a thoughtful question. What did it take? Well, what I have learned about myself and being in an environment where there's a lot of new information coming at me is to slow down my thinking so that I don't feel overwhelmed by what I don't know. I accept what I don't know, and I ask people to slow down and repeat what they just said. Because what I've really learned in life, whether it's from caregivers or lawyers or agents or managers, people assume you understand what they're talking about. And that assumption is folly. So once I could slow down my thinking and have people repeat exactly what was required and what was, what the process would be in this new phase of life, I could start to find my way in it and understand my position, and as did my sister, Claudia. And so that allows you, because in our society, we just do not incorporate this stage of life. We do not. And it's just part of the cycle of life. People need to be cared for. Tribally, you take care of your elders. I was raised in a generation where grandma lived with us. And now we're returning to that in our society just because of economics. Adult children are coming back to live with their families, and there you go through generations again. But to answer your question specifically, I found that the more questions I asked, the more I slowed my anxiety down to just see what this environment would be like, the more I realized that my mother was safe and cared for and well. And even though she was in a new state, that there was a gift and a purpose to this state. And because my mother can no longer speak the way she used to, because I can tell from her eyes when she's talking. And I said, "Are you talking?" And she'll say, and she'll nod yes. And I'll say, "We can't hear you." And she'll nod. She says, "I understand." She also, her gift now is that she has to listen. And that is a very real gift and a very real shift in a person's life.
That is lovely. That's a master's thesis in caregiving, and I appreciate that so much. If you are in an elevator with a family caregiver and you only had maybe 30 seconds or a minute before you got off and never saw them again, what would the one most important piece of advice you would like to share with them be?
What I would really suggest is that they get very quiet and decide what questions they need to have answered, and really pay attention in that same quiet, out of that same quietness, what the person that they're caregiving, what state they are in, and tend to that. So often we try to cajole people out of their transitional states of anxiety or depression, and mostly what people just need to do is listen. And so I would definitely suggest that they feel absolutely comfortable in asking questions to the people running a facility or nurses or whatever, to get comfortable with the new environment. Don't be ashamed of what you don't know. The only way you get to know something is to ask questions about it. And then the person that you are taking care of that is in this new phase, just be still and listen and see what they really need on the deepest level. Don't try to joke with them in the same way you might have joked with them yesterday. This is a new day. This is a new world, and this is a new chapter, and you have to just let them know that they are safe, and let them know that they can process whatever they're going to process, but that it will show up, it will evolve into the next phase. And then, therefore, you become, your position becomes different. And it's fascinating because it's just part of this mysterious circle of life. And there are many blessings in that chapter as well. That's what I found. Unexpected blessing, but
I
blessings
think
to be sure.
That's true. Unexpected blessing, unexpected humor, and what one of the things that I really do hope caregivers take away from this conversation is to put your loved one in the loop. And you may be the CEO of Caring for My Loved One, Inc., but they're the chairman of the board. So, what is mom really thinking? What would dad really have wanted? What, you know, how do we not infantilize them because now I'm caring for them?
That's a huge point. I'm so glad you brought that up. To not infantilize somebody, to allow them to hold on to their dignity, and for you to help them locate where their dignity now lays. It's in a different place. If they're completely dependent on you, then the position of dignity has to show up in a different way. And that's magnificent work. That is magnificent work. Having been through this, it's wild. It's so beautiful to locate dignity in a different form, but it is dignity nonetheless.
That's so nice. I always say the last two things people hang on to, if a cognitive issue is what they're dealing with, is the love. They know when someone loves them, and respect.
Of course.
They know when someone respecting them, and also honoring their dignity, as you said, wherever it lies now is where you should go, because you know it's better than it's just the best way to be as a caregiver, I think.
Well, yes, that's exactly right, because you know you're honoring the person's soul and the opportunity to say what needs to be said, the opportunity to resolve what needs to be resolved, the opportunity to try to make peace where that's required. It's fantastic. You know, it's it is that unexpected gift.
This is lovely, and I appreciate all your comments.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much, and thank you for your magazine.